We hear again the words of our Lord in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, sometimes at the end of a semester, maybe the last day of class or even the last day of a final, a student may approach their professor with comments that shed some light on what's going on inside of their minds that you had no idea during the semester. Sometimes you can get some surprises. I've had times that I thought somebody hardly heard a word I said sitting in the back, and it turns out they were listening. Well, one day, many years ago, and I was in my early years teaching here, the student came up to me and he said, "I really enjoyed this religion class, but I want you to know I'm a rationalist and I don't believe anything about Christianity, but it was very interesting to hear your perspective on things." And I said, "Oh, okay." And I said, "So where do you think all of this came from? Where do you think you came from and this world that we're in?" And he said, "I believe there was a big explosion of star matter years ago, and I'm just ultimately a product of that explosion. There were smaller life forms that slowly, gradually became human beings." And I said, "So according to that, was there any purpose or reason for this happening?" And he said, "No, not at all." And I said, "So what does that mean about your life and the purpose of your life, why you're here?" And he said, "Well, my job or my duty in life is to continue the process of evolution and to play my part in the advancement of the whole process of evolution." And I said, "So what about inside of you? Do you think there is such a thing as a soul, kind of a spiritual aspect to human beings?" He said, "No, not at all." I said, "So can you tell me, like, even with emotions, where does love come from?" And this was an interesting explanation. He said, "Love is really an evolutionary drive inside of people that wants to seek a mate in order to continue the process of evolution. So if the purpose inside of us because of evolution is to advance the whole work of evolution, then that's where the drive of love ultimately comes from." And I said, "So really, from that perspective, love then is really kind of a selfish thing for you to be able to advance your purpose." And he said, "Yeah, I guess that's right." I said, "What about right or wrong? What about morality and the fact that we have rules and laws in our society and things? What about right and wrong and all of that?" And he said, "Well, I think through the years, people have sort of made that up in order to allow the evolutionary process to continue advancing." "Well, what happens after you die?" I said. He said, "Nothing. That's it. I go away." And I said, "Well, what would you do if when you're young, I hope this doesn't happen, but what would you do if when you're young, you suddenly developed a terminal illness?" He said, "I would just commit suicide." And I said, "Wow. It sure seems like you have such a sad, kind of depressing perspective on life as you're going along through life." And he admitted, he said, "Yeah, it kind of is." And he thanked me for the class and went on his way. I'll have to say this about him. He was very consistent with his responses. He was very consistent in how he looked at his life, how he looked at dating, how he looked at possibly being married someday, how he looked at his role in the world, and even his death. It was all very, very consistent. His perspective on life and on how he tried to find the truth about his life was rooted in certain things and certain thoughts that ultimately played out in so many different ways. Dr. Francis Schaeffer once wrote this. I like this. "People are unique in the inner life of the mind. What they are in their thought world determines how they act. This is true of their value systems, and it is true of their creativity. It is true of their corporate actions, and it is true of their personal lives. And I like this last line. The results of their thought world flow through their fingers or from their tongues into the external world. It's a very interesting way of describing it, that inside of each one of us is this internal system that operates, as far as how we go about our lives, operates based upon certain principles that we believe deep down inside of us. And that young man exhibited that very well. The Bible has a much simpler way to say it in the book of Proverbs. As a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Where you establish your source of knowledge and of truth, and how you determine the things that you're going to believe in and base your life upon, will have a tremendous impact on how you look at your life and how you view yourself in the world. To all of our students who are scattered here tonight, here at Bethany College, you have been studying various disciplines, and we have tremendous professors that have tried to seek out the best truths that we can find to teach you about all the different disciplines and schools of thought you've been going through, to be teachers, nurses, businessmen, physical health workers, psychologists, communications, arts. You could go on and on. Tremendous list. And they all have tried to seek out the best places and sources for truth to teach you so that you can live a very productive life in the years to come, both in your home, out in the community, in your church, and so on. But it's also the truths that they teach are also based in a much deeper foundational truth that our Lord Jesus is talking about in the text before us. Jesus is very bold when he says that there is such a thing as truth. Now that's contradictory to how the world thinks today. Truth is a nebulous thing or something we can never really get our hands on according to the philosophies of our world today. Authentic, real, honest, hardcore truth cannot be known according to the philosophies of the world. But Jesus comes along and says, yes, there is. Truth exists. Truth exists, he says. And it can be known. It's not just out there somewhere. It can be known. A human being can have it and embrace it and build their life on it, is what he's saying. And he tells us exactly where we are to go to find that, to his holy, sacred word, to the scriptures, the very book that is unchanging through time. You know, we need a lot of things in our life where truth really matters. There are different layers of things where knowing the truth about something really matters. And certainly when it comes to our physical health, that can often be a place where we really want to make sure that we know the truth. But even beyond that is eternity and what happens after this life. And therefore, our relationship to the one who determines where we go after this life. If there's any place that everybody in this room needs to know truth, that's it. That is it. If there's any place where truth really matters, it has to do with these issues. About 3 years before I was born, there came an end to a bad polio epidemic here in the United States. And there had been thousands of children per year before that had died because of the infection of polio. And finally, Dr. Jonas Salk developed the great serum for this. And when he first came out with that, there was a lot of skepticism whether this was really it. There were people in the medical community and scientific community that challenged his thinking that he had discovered the actual serum for it. Imagine if that day, because of that kind of criticism, he backed into his office and thought, this is being pretty arrogant of me. Maybe I better be quiet. It will never help anyone to back down from the truth. If it really is truth, it will never help anyone to back down. And our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that in his holy, sacred word, we have the truth from God, the creator of all things, the creator of our bodies, the creator of our souls, the one who determines what's going to happen to us when this life comes to an end. The God of all eternity has chosen to reveal himself to us and his actual, authentic, real truth in the pages of Holy Scripture. And those who by faith in Christ have latched on to that through the work of the Holy Spirit can declare, I know it. I boldly have it. I can be confident that I truly have and possess this truth. And knowing it depends on it. And I'm here to tell you who are graduating college, your generation needs the voice of Christ's church more than ever. We need in our generation young people who are willing to boldly say, by God's grace, I know the truth, I have it, I possess it, and would you like to learn about it? Because it will never, ever help anybody to back away from this truth. And that precious truth in God's word teaches us how we relate to this God. Despite our wickedness and our sins and our unbelief and all of that, he has chosen to enter our world through his Son, to take on human flesh, and to become our Redeemer, to go to the cross, to shed his holy blood for every sin we've ever committed against God. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. And that's why Peter could boldly say about this Jesus, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It will never benefit anyone to back away from that truth. Now, God has given you the opportunity here at this college for 4 years, or how many you've been here, to learn and know and understand and take in this precious, wonderful truth. God does not want you to go through your life stumbling in uncertainty. He doesn't say, read this book because there's a good chance you'll find some truths in it you may like. He says, you shall know the truth. And when you live in that word, that's the word that Jesus uses in our text, he says, if you abide in my word, it's the same root we get the word abode from, to live inside of that word. When you live in my word, when you take residence in that word and make it your life, you shall know the truth. In fact, he says, this is how you demonstrate you are one of his disciples. When you do that, he says, you are my disciples indeed. Because this wonderful truth he gives us has the power that nothing else can do, and that is to get you out of your grave, to finally get you out of your grave. When I was very new in the ministry, I was serving a church down in Florida. There was a couple that had moved down from up on the East Coast. The wife was a devout Christian. The husband was not. He, like that first student I mentioned, was quite a rationalist. He was a very intelligent man. He had worked for NASA. Some of his projects ended up on the lunar, that little lunar car that was on the moon. It's probably still on the moon today. And he had no time for the Word of God. I went to their house every week to teach her, take her through like an adult confirmation class. And I noticed that on my way back out, he'd be sitting in the living room, and he would ask me a question or two. And I finally invited him to come and sit at the table, which he did. And through the course of time, he started to get interested, and the Holy Spirit worked on his heart. And he ultimately became a believer and confessor of Christ and joined our congregation and so on. He's the only man where I have been present at their actual death in my life. And in his final hours, he confessed Christ as his Savior. All of the earthly knowledge that he had accrued, that he had learned, that he had gathered, that caused him to even be at the pinnacle of his area of work, all of that he came to realize by God's grace was now meaningless and could not help him. it would ultimately fail him. And only this precious truth that God alone gives is what will get us out of our graves. Now, there are also many earthly blessings that come with following this truth, with living in God's sacred word. Just talk to the Christians who are here today. How understanding and knowing that truth colors their whole way of looking at life, their way of looking at marriage and their family and what's important, how to treat your money, how to treat your fellow human beings, how to look at life. The Word of God is not just about getting us out of our graves someday, which is the most important, but it also has so much to say about the blessings we can have in this life. When we follow that precious Word, it will ultimately set us free from our graves. So the Lord, who holds all authority in his hands, the very hands that have been pierced for our sins, the Lord who holds all authority in his hands on heaven and on earth, is the one who says to you as you leave this college and go off into your life, stand fast. Let no one take your crown. Amen.